For those of you out there that haven't started, and I know there's a lot of you out there because around 70% of the U.S. population does not have an estate plan, and you don't know where to start, you don't like talking to lawyers, you're confused. That's why we brought Zach on. So Zach, let the listeners know why you created this company and what problems you're solving for the consumer out there. Hello and welcome to the Julian Gino podcast. On today's show, we are going to be discussing estate planning and, more importantly, Jewel, legacy, one of my favorite words. But before we get started, please make sure you hit the like and subscribe button to our show. It helps us out tremendously and it allows us to continue to grow the channel. Now, today's guest is Zach Sakiris, founder of Fastwill, a revolutionary platform making estate planning simple, fast, and accessible for everyone. With a background in tech entrepreneurship and a passion for empowering families, he is on a mission to take the stress and confusion out of creating wills and managing legacies. In this episode, we dive into the future of digital estate planning and how Fastwill is transforming the way we prepare for the inevitable. Welcome to the show, Zach. How are we doing?
Gino and Julia, thank you guys so much for having me on. I'm excited to do it. Our last podcast was super fun. So yeah, really glad to be here.
And listen, when we met, I was like, Fastwill, what a great idea. For those of you out there that haven't started, and I know there's a lot of you out there because around 70% of the U.S. population does not have an estate plan, and you don't know where to start, you don't like talking to lawyers, you're confused, that's why we brought Zach on. So Zach, let the listeners know why you created this company and what problems you're solving for the consumer out there.
Yeah. So in terms of why I started the company, my background is in financial services. So I started out as a financial advisor, mainly on the protection side. So things like life insurance, disability insurance, and then also managing things like IRAs, retirement accounts. And, you know, as an advisor, when you start out, it's kind of like a lawyer, right? Where there's different niches, there's different sort of pools of clients that you can tap into. And when you're starting out, kind of you're just picking all of them and seeing which one sticks. So I bounced around to several different niches in the early stages of my career, and I ended up in the estate planning niche, working alongside some estate planning attorneys, helping their clients out with the financial side of things. And just becoming more familiar with that market, I noticed that there really was a significant amount of people paying too much for their estate plans. Of course, you're going to have, you know, Gino, your demographic of you know, high net worth real estate people or you know, people north of 5 million that might want to consider meeting with an estate planning attorney if you have complex things like that. But reality is the vast majority of people should not be paying $1,200, $1,500 here in New York, up to $5,000 for just a basic will or trust, which is sort of what's happening a lot of the times. And I think a reason that's happening is oftentimes clients are referred to the same estate planning attorneys that are working with those clients that are north of 5 mil. So that hourly rate tends to be a little bit higher, which is causing people to sort of pay a little bit too much. So I started the company really to sort of solve that problem, not only make it more cost effective, but a lot of people don't necessarily want to meet with attorneys. A lot of people are kind of an intimidating process. They kind of have a nasty reaction when they think of it, like, oh gosh, I don't want to go talk about all this stuff right now. So much easier just to put it off. So I really was focused on creating an at-home solution, something people could do in their bed, on their couch, just get it done in 20, 30 minutes at an affordable price, but making it real easy. And then of course, adding on all of that same value that users would get meeting with an attorney, which is another misconception that I can touch on a little bit later.
Yeah, so Zach, when you started out, you said financial planning, and I just felt my wife tense up and go, we're not going to be talking about business or real estate. She's just like, I don't want to.
I heard Zach are on Gino and Jake's podcast. Now I have to live up to Jake and his podcast. So I'm feeling a little intimidated.
There's no cap rates. There's no cash on cash return. We're going to keep it about estate planning and the word legacy. Listen, go to fastwill.com. Promo code 2025, you'll get 15% off. And what I love about your website, Zach, also, go on there. There's a ton of articles. There's a ton of information on the website. Just don't do it. Don't go online and try to create a will by yourself without any guidance. You may get one for $50. Listen, go on to the website. take a look at what Zach and his company's put together and do some research, really dive into it, because I've got a lot of members in the Wheelbarrow Profits community who they're young, they're just starting out, they're so busy, they're closing deals. But then I ask them, how many kids do you have? Oh, we've got, you know, two kids. Do you have a guardianship for your children? I think I should start doing that. I mean, I think I should start. That's not what you want to hear, Zach, right? That should be done. And it shouldn't take all that long to do. So like dive into, you know, the other services that you provide, because it's really important for people out there. If you don't have a plan, you do have a plan. It's just the government's plan. It's not your plan. And that's real scary if you have the government's plan, because they can't manage anything. So it's all about really one part of that legacy is creating a legacy, but being in control of what you want to pass on, not just the financial aspect of it, but your other wishes as well.
100%. And it's funny, you know, if all of us had a stopwatch and every time we were putting off doing our will, kind of, you know, talking about it, stressing about it, it probably would be a lot more time spent than just doing the plan. I think over the years, people kind of, they shake the idea, something happens, and if you just added up all that time, it's way more than it would take just to solve that problem. So
yes.
I think that's huge. And then, Gino, you and I were joking around about the DMV last time. And, you know, if you've ever gone there and be like, these people should be in charge of everything, right? These people should make, probably not, right? Probably not. So exactly like you said, Gino, a lot of people are not aware of what happens when you don't have a will or trust. And I think people know that they should, but they don't exactly know why. And I think just giving people the information, like, you know, the court can appoint guardianship over your kids if they're under 18. And a lot of people hear that and they're like, that can't be right. Like, what? Like, you know, and it's just like, the state makes these decisions. And it's crazy that it's like this. I don't know why it's like this. But, you know, it's just all the more reason really to just do a little bit of research. What is probate and do I want to be dealing with it right after a family member passes away? Probably not. Really rough time as it is. The last time you want to start figuring all this stuff out. Much better to just spend 20, 30 minutes, have it out of sight, out of mind.
So let's scare the listeners a little more before you jump in,
Jewel. I was going to scare him. Well, this is scary to me. And I know it kind of goes with the money coaching thing. The reason why I got into money coaching, because I was avoiding money. So I'm like, this is something I have to do. Mm-hmm. And this, what I love, what you say is you're helping people relieve the stress and the confusion, because I think obviously that's the reason us parents, especially, avoid this topic altogether, because we don't even want to imagine something happening. And so we're just going to wait. And we're going to wait. And I mean, I know many people probably would wait if it wasn't for you. 100%.
Well, for me, it was just scary thinking that something happens to my children and me and you aren't here. And then all of a sudden somebody pops out of the woodwork and goes, hey, I'm going to take care of your kids for you. They figure out, you know, and then let alone the government doing it. But let's say somebody else.
In St. Augustine, I just want to put it out here. This is ridiculous.
See?
We moved down from New York.
Like, oh my God. Didn't believe me.
We got to go to DMV and I'm all nervous. We go there and everyone was so helpful and nice. And the two of us are standing there. We're like, what
the heck? This is the same.
Like, what is this? Did you talk about this?
Yes, and I told him and Jake did not believe me. I said the drive motor vehicle in St. Johns County in Florida.
My kids and they're all talking to my kid. I'm like, what?
I gotta change my spiel here. That's what I'm saying.
That's just in St. Augustine.
Because
up in Jacks, that's not the case. Yes. Okay. Sorry for that.
But probate. The listeners know what happens if you die without a will or without your assets, you know, in some type of what we call a revocable trust. It's the probate process, and it can be very expensive. It can be very long. It can be very open. There's no privacy to it as well. And it can be very painful for the next 18 months. So discuss that process and that probate and how you can avoid by working with Fastwill.
Yeah. So when you die without a will, it's called dying intestate. And the probate process, the easiest way to think about it is it's just your government making your will for you. That's all it is, really. So a will is just a set of instructions you give the government as to what you want to happen when you pass. I mean, if you don't give that instructions, they'll make the instructions. Kind of the easiest way to put it, really. So probate is just a period of time where the government is going through your stuff, looking at your family situation and trying to make the best decisions on how to unfold it. Now, I will keep in mind that the government's going to do the best it can here. You know, it's not just going to start randomly throwing your stuff to these relatives you don't talk to and stuff. So most of the time, the government is going to work with you and they're going to look at, you know, where your stuff's going. But as we know, I mean, we talked about this last time, Gino, like families have disagreements. And when we all get around the table at Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever it may be, sometimes we come from different places. We have different values, beliefs, especially people start having kids, they get older. So you'd be surprised what the disputes often are over, because you'd think, okay, well, this is going to be real estate. This is going to be financial accounts. It can be something small as, you know, your grandmother's jewelry, and people will fight. I mean, people will really fight over this stuff to the point where you're getting lawyers involved, and it can be a really nasty situation. But yeah, just to answer your question, Gino, it is just that process of the government making your will for you, going through all your stuff. There's attorneys involved. And as you said, it's just a window of time where they're trying to help you sell your estate at a very not fun time. And then the trust avoids that altogether. So the trust avoids probate entirely. So the will gives the court a set of instructions, and the trust is just keep the court out of it. And another thing I'll touch on with that, another thing we spoke about is how sometimes people have this misconception that, you know, to have a trust, you need to be like ultra wealthy or like, you know, have this huge estate, Gino and Jake, right? Tens of millions in real estate, all this stuff. But it's really not the case. If you own a home, if you're saving for retirement, just even like a basic level, I mean, you really should have a trust, which is why we price our trust the way that we do, $499, $599 for a couple's, is it's just a price point that people can afford and get their, I'm never a fan of going through the probate process. And I just think if you can, if you do have some ownership, I think getting a trust is always the move. Even if you're just someone with 200,000 to 2 million in assets, I think you still need a trust. And I think, you know, most people would agree with that. And for some reason, I don't know where that comes from, maybe kind of movies or social media that like trust fund kids or something like that, where people associate trust with this word of this ultra wealthy and stuff, when it's just really not like that. So yeah, the trust avoids probate, and the will, I would say, speeds it up.
Yeah. No. So what do you usually, what kind of pushback in a sense do you get? And not pushback, I'm talking about just hesitation or, yeah, no, we don't have that. You know, we're good for now. Like what is it? I know it's an underlying fear of probably death ultimately, right? But it's a fear of what? Because I, like as a parent, of course we want to have a say in what happens, right? Of course we do. Is it just having the conversation, do you think?
I think it's just human nature, yeah. Right? I mean, it's like all of us are people. Like right. These are not fun conversations to have, right? Like you're not going out to the dinner party talking about this stuff, right? It's not fun.
Maybe me and you know that, but I feel like we're on a different
Well, yeah, unless you're in a really serious relationship.
We did move from New York, something, Florida.
Something like that. You know, it's kind of uncomfortable. So I think people really just block it out. I don't know if most people would argue that having a will is not a good idea. I think most people would just say, yeah, I don't really think I need that right now. Let me just kind of not forget about it. Or just like we all do with procrastination sometimes, sort of set these imaginary events in our head of just when I have kids, when I get married, as soon as I retire, and that they just, that's their way to block it off. And then they'll kind of deal with it later, which of course is not the right decision, but it's also understandable. You know, I don't fault anyone for not wanting to have these conversations. I mean, it's natural. No one wants to think of this stuff happening, but you just have to think of what happens if you don't do it.
Proper planning prevents poor performance. And I'm going to share the story that I always want to motivate people to actually have that uncomfortable conversation. Because when my father passed away back in 2007, the month before he passed away, we had the priest and we had the accountant at our house. And that was very, for lack of a better word, I wouldn't even say awkward. I was just very sad because my mother's trying to grieve. She's trying to figure out the estate planning all at the same time. All at the same time.
You don't have a clear understanding of what's happening.
And then whether you can't make the right decisions because these conversations you had a year ago. So how much do we leave to the kids?
Well, who gets the kids?
Or who? Yeah, no, I'm just saying as far as me and my brother were older, they didn't set up the revocable trust. So he had to set up an irrevocable trust. Money went in there, had to have a couple of different other trusts going on. And this is all going on while there's a lot of stress, a lot of sadness. And the worst part about it is, I think I'd share this with you, Zach. In 2020, when we sold the business that had the irrevocable trust, my mom kept that irrevocable trust open for another 3 or 4 years because it had my dad's name in it. It had his town. So just the thought of like closing that chapter of her life, you can see that she has properly never grieved or never gotten over that. So if you're sitting there and saying, well, this may not happen to me, or I've got a long time, you just never know when something happens. You want to have these conversations when you're in a great spirit, when you can think clearly, when you're, you know, it's aspirational. Your legacy is okay. I don't want to let my children make these decisions. If I'm a person who's 100% responsible and I want to control my life and that's how I live my life, well, in death, if I leave these decisions up to them, am I the one who's actually living those values? No, because all of a sudden you haven't created a plan and you left it to the next generation and they're going to fight about it. So it'd be better if you can leave some type of instruction with what's going on when you're not here anymore. I don't know if you'd like to comment to that or add anything to that.
100%. And Julia made a fantastic point, which is just like, if you think of it, I mean, if you've ever been really mad at a family member, a friend or something, and my mom always used to tell me this, you know, they say, write a note and stick it in the drawer, right? And then you come back a week later, do you still want to send it? Like 99% of the time, no, right? So it's never good, we all know, to make decisions in like really heightened emotional states. And I think both you guys touched on that, which is just, you know, like the situation with your mom, just being in that really bad emotional state, understandably grieving and going through all that stuff, probably not the time you want to make calculated decisions with no emotional bias. So that's the other thing. And unfortunately, people are forced to because they're going through that process. And it's like, hey, I'm sorry you feel bad, but you got to make a call here, you know, and that's not a good time to make decisions.
Yeah.
Zach, if my wife had taken that advice from your mom, she'd probably have a drawer full of like hundreds of notes.
I might have that.
And I'm going to go check. We
all do. Yeah. I had to get new cabinets. No, 100%. Yeah.
You know, I have to say though, my husband and I, when we were doing the will the last time.
It's painful.
It's painful in the moment. It's painful to talk about. But I do have to say afterward, it was very relieving to say, hey, everyone has a plan. There's a plan in a sense of where everything's going, who's taking care of who, all of that stuff. And it was very relieving. And it was almost like there was a weight off our shoulders. And I want to put that out there because a lot of times, we don't want to have the conversation. And I'm all about just going in and taking care of it. Yes, it's uncomfortable, but afterward, it feels so freeing to say, okay, now there's a plan for my family because I never want to leave that stress. And we've all experienced it, right? Where the family is fighting and they know what's best.
And Julia, it's such a great point because the other thing that I'll add on to that, which is I think what you're saying is just that I think oftentimes couples that do this become closer after. You know, I think it really increases your bond. It's kind of one of those trickster things where you go into it and you're like, this might cause friction between us. You know, what if we disagree on these personal issues? Then once you get through that, you kind of look at each other and you're like, wow, we got a plan. Like we really know each other. So I think it's a really great point of just how moving through this when couples do it together, I think it strengthens your relationship. I think it strengthens your bond as a couple because as we all know in relationships, it's kind of that those details and it's just those intimate parts of each other that when you know where that person stands on something, it just kind of brings a different level of connection when you get that deep. So I think that's a really great point.
Zach, this is why Julie and I became money coaches because we saw, or at least I saw when I was coaching a lot of the, you know, Jake and Gino community members in real estate, some of them just completely excelled. They didn't have any business. They had no money, but they just did great. And there were others that had all the experience, had the talent, had the balance sheet, and they couldn't close a deal. And when it came down, what I've realized is a person's relationship with money and a person's old patterns, old beliefs. And if you're a spouse listening to this, you may have different understandings or different ways, places you came from money. So this is a great way to sit down and have an open and honest conversation. Cause I may be like, hey, I'm leaving all the money to my kids. And Julie may be like, no, that's not really that good of an idea because they get spoiled. So it's good to have that conversation. And that's why money coaching is phenomenal because it gets down to a person's relationship with money and it has spouses start talking openly about their old patterns and about the way they have these unconscious patterns and beliefs. And as you go on through your relationship, you said financial, that intimacy. Well, intimacy in so many different parts, our mentor calls it financial intimacy. And if you can become financially intimate and able to have these tough conversations, you can conquer anything as a couple. You can get down and say, okay, what do we plan to do? And it may be hard between the two of you, but if you're open and honest about what both of you want, I mean, it's a lot easier to tackle the situation. Why are you smiling? What are you thinking?
I was just saying, I was thinking.
I know you're going to say something.
Yeah, we have, like, there are arguments and there are disagreements. And I want to put that out
every day.
And so that's kind of what I want.
I want to call it the Barbaro Farm. The guys want to call it the Barbaro. They don't want to call it the ranch. We have
no idea.
I know. We have arguments about everything. So it's not, it's just like every single day.
We have a farm. We have little mini donkeys and some cows. And we're trying to name it the farm.
And we can't even name our donkeys. It takes us days. So we understand.
I hope the argument is.
You can't blame donkeys in one day. I mean, that's a process, right? You got to kind of untangle that.
We got to make it happen, though. I can't spend my brain bandwidth on naming donkeys. Yeah. I got to be solving a bigger problem.
Donkeys have a long life, though. I mean, you can't just be calling it something you just came up with in 24 hours, right?
So now we have to look at the
timeline of that donkey. We have to, what's the personality? What's the behavior? You know, we kind of got to trace it, you know.
And we have only 5 donkeys and 6 children. So what are we going to do now?
So let me ask you something. Time out.
You're causing more work for us.
If you're telling me I got to take a long time to name a donkey, how long is it going to take for me and my wife to have a conversation about a will? I mean, if it takes me weeks to get a donkey, it's going to take me.
We got to put them in the will because they're going to live like 40 years.
That's, wait.
Zach, that's another important thing. Even if you have documents, you should still review the documents. So if you're listening to this right now and saying, hey, I've got my stuff, everything's cool, and I did them like 5 years ago. Yeah. Well, maybe they're a little outdated right now. Maybe you have to add things into the trust. Maybe you have to add more kids to the will.
So that's the question I have for Zach is, can you do that with your program?
Yeah.
So all of our users have our Fastful membership included for 30 days. So that gives you editability. So you have a login and password and you can log in. You have a sort of overview of your assets, insurance policies, different information you entered. And then there you can do all that stuff like upgrade to a trust, upgrade to a couple's trust, edit your will. It's funny, you guys sort of touched on something that we're bringing in the next few months, though, is the ability to actually upload your previous documents and break them down into our FASTful format and edit them. That is not out yet, but it actually is something that we're hoping to come up with in either Q3 or Q4 of this year, as well as deed transfer. We're doing integration with a company right now, so we'll be able to, at the end of the flow, actually have the quote and just based off of county and zip code for people that want to transfer their deeds. So that's some cool stuff coming ahead, but yes, absolutely. Yeah. So we have a user portal. Then as far as updating documents that are outside of FASTful, we're building that functionality as well too.
And you're all 50 states, correct? Also, you can work in all the entire United States, correct?
All 50 states and remote notarization for 48 states. So South Carolina and Virginia are the only 2 states that don't allow that right now, but you can also notarize in those other 48 states. I don't know why that is, by the way, but, COVID did a lot for DocuSign and e-signatures. So it was sort of lucky for us because, you know, we're about 3 years old, about 2 years live. And we were coming right out of that time period where they just pushed remote notary after COVID with everything. They were just like, hey, go ahead. So we were able to kind of take advantage of that, which is very cool.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
We can go back to the arguments if you want.
What argument? What do you want to argue about now?
Well, I want the listeners to know that it is not an easy conversation. Especially if you're married. I'm talking to the married or not, whatever. But it is so worth having. And I want to put that out there because I mean, I always said it before. But Zach, what do you say? Do you deal with a lot of couples like say that are having a hard time deciding or just not making it's hard to make these decisions, obviously. But what do you say to them?
So one of the things that I'll touch on that both of you actually brought up, which I think is so insightful. And I also think that a lot of people really don't know this. And I'll give you personal sort of testimony. This is, I think a lot of people that do money coaching and stuff like that, they understand the best ones. They understand that it's a behavior issue. Mm-hmm. It's not a math issue. It's a behavior issue. And this is when I first started, you know, when I was brand new watching people like Dave Ramsey and stuff like that. I'm like, this guy doesn't know anything. You know, this guy doesn't know products. This guy, you know, why would you pay down the smallest debt first, right? If there's bigger debt with a higher interest rate, that makes, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't really understand. So, you know, I was a young advisor. I'd come in, people say, look, you know, I can charge you the lowest fee possible on the grid. You can get upside here. You're paying, you know, these people are like, but I want to go to the Caribbean. You know, it's like, it's such a disconnect, right? You know, it's like, you're kind of leading with like, okay, securities matter. math investments. I can make this work. And they're like, yeah, but wouldn't it be cool to go on an Alaska cruise? Like, you know, there's just such a difference there in terms of how they view it. And I think you guys are right that it has so much more to do with behavior and belief systems than it does necessarily the vehicles like real estate or stocks or term insurance versus whole life and stuff like this. So I think it's really a behavior issue. And then Julia, just to touch on what you're saying, I think, yeah, I think anytime there is a couple, especially one that's been together, I guess I'll say financially for a while, you know, managing those expenses and stuff, I think the more people can be on the same page, I think the more couples can just really be on the same page and acknowledge, hey, we might have some slight disagreements here. That's normal. That's okay. But we do want the same big picture, and we adopt whatever behaviors and belief systems that are needed to go along with that. So that can vary, of course, based off the couple. But I think you guys hit the nail on the head. And that's definitely something I learned, because I come from the financial advising space as well. So I literally was doing money coaching professionally. I don't do it anymore, but I learned the exact same things. And Gino, I know you have a big book that just came out about that as well. And I think anyone who's sort of gotten to the end of that rabbit hole understands it's 99% about the choices people are making on a day-to-day basis, their behaviors, all that stuff, than it is about, you know, this Vanguard fund is going to do 2 points better, and this is why. No one cares about that stuff, you know. And I think coming in, if I can just prove mathematically that this is a great investment, that it's going to work. And it's not the case at all. People, you know, need to change their behavior, their goals, their expectations, all that good stuff.
Two words that I would add to that. Well, one is values-based decision-making, understanding what your values are and trying to align your values. If that vacation is you want to do it, do it. But I would say save for it and be responsible. And the second part is also the legacy component. So what do you want your legacy to look like? And to have the conversation with your spouse, you both have to sort of be on the same page of what that looks like. Like, think about yourself at the end of your life. How does that look at your funeral? Who's there? How many kids do you have? What kind of music are they playing? What are people saying about you? And then from there, reverse engineer to where you are today. And how do you get to that point in time? And that's how you start mapping out what you want to do the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life. And while you're doing that, what kind of legacy do you want to leave? And part of that is what we're having the conversation here with Fastwill. You want to be responsible. You want to be able to leave something to your children. And it's not just financial. There's values. There's values aligned with it. There's a mission statement. There's core values of your family. I mean, these podcasts are going to be hopefully around for the next 40 or 50 years. So my grandkids, probably longer than the donkeys, let's hope. And hopefully the kids will be able to watch them and the grandkids will be able to watch them. So as we're talking about the nuts and bolts and the hard stuff, right, of creating the will and creating the trust, the conversation of the other stuff to me is just as important, of not just the only part about the financial legacy, but also what the values are, what you want to leave from that perspective, Julia.
No, I love that too.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, no, I love that. And I want to just add, like, I kind of interrupted you, but without the fighting, wouldn't that be awesome if the kids were older? Yes. And they didn't have to fight on where things were or whatever it was, whatever yeah. you're will. Mm-hmm. And I think that ultimately, you know, I've seen it personally in my family, my mother's family. It was a big fight over just a small amount. And I just, like, the thought of that is so, like, overwhelming. So you guys are going to fight and separate over an amount of money that wasn't even yours. I mean, it was a gift for you. Mm-hmm. And I just think something like that, I would love to avoid that and say, hey, this is what our desire is as your parents. Yeah. Here's where it's going to go.
And also to have the conversation with the kids too. I mean, bring the kids into the conversation.
But, you know,
that's
remember
important.
When Gabriella, our oldest, turned 18, like I think the week she turned 18, we called for the will and said, all the kids are going to go to Gabby because it was like my brother, your brother, my sister. Yeah. And it was a stress of ours, but it was a thought. And again, it's not a pretty thought, but it is something. Again, when we're afraid of something, sometimes we just avoid it. And I just encourage everyone listening. Yes, it's scary and we don't want to talk about it, but Zach has created something that makes your life, as he puts it, which I love, I even wrote it down, the stress and the confusion. He's helped with that, which I really appreciate it because that's why we are avoiding it. And he's created something.
So he's created something for stress and confusion on wills, not on, you know, partnerships. We're still going to have stress and confusion. If Zach can come up with that solution.
The beauty of marriage.
Yes, but if you come up with that solution, Zach, you're going to be a trillionaire, not even a millionaire.
I was just going to say,
But even the solution that you have now, I love it because a lot of us don't want to talk to lawyers.
Right.
A lot of us don't want to spend thousands of dollars.
It's also intimidating. Aside from the money. It is like, I don't know what to say. I'm not, you know what I mean? And so that's why.
And come prepared. When you go onto the website, you'll see a lot of the articles and a lot of stuff that they put out on there for you to have that conversation. And at the very least, go on there, take a look at what they have on there, and then sit down with your spouse, have the conversation. And if you need some coaching, money coaching, go to Barbaro360.com, have that conversation, because it's important to be aligned with your spouse. Remember, you're on the same team. We are like to joke around and make fun of each other, but we're ultimately on the same team. And if we're on the same team, we may have disagreements, but that's how we work things out. And we want to know where these disagreements are coming from. That's the important part about this whole process.
100%. I mean, what great team doesn't have disagreements? Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think great teams, at least from my experience of just owning a business, I'm not married, not yet. But I think, you know, if you don't have different